Take a moment, take a breath. And welcome yourself one more time to the Qigong and Tai Chi Teacher Training Informational, brought to you by the IIQTC, the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi. I'm Josie Weaver, the IIQTC Administrator. I'd like to welcome our presenter now. Dr. Roger Yonka is the Director of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi. He is a well-known Qigong and Tai Chi researcher and also author. In fact, if you ever look at Amazon, Dr. Yonka has some of the favorite and best-selling Qigong books that are available on Amazon. So if you want to take a look at, and you probably might be familiar with, The Healer Within and The Healing Promise of Qi, two books that are very, very important in the study and training of teachers, used as textbooks, actually. Dr. Yonka has also presented extensively throughout the country, most recently at the Mind Body Week in Washington, D.C. Let's welcome Dr. Roger Yonka. Hello.
Josie, hi. Thank you so much, and welcome everyone. Always so appreciative of the level of interest in our society in mind-body practice, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, meditation. It's really inspiring. And you may or may not know about what was called Healthy People 2020. It's a report from the National Institutes of Health and the CDC and other major agencies of our nation in Washington, D.C. And the first Healthy People report came out in 1993, and it was called Healthy People 2000. So we've had Healthy People 2000, Healthy People 2010, and now in 2012 we have Healthy People 2020. And the language of wellness and well-being and health promotion and disease prevention over these three reports over a period of 30 years has been amazing. And the extent to which it is now clear that probably the best solution to the health crisis in our nation is actually to have people just prevent disease at home for no cost. And imagine the difference in the cost of medicine if you don't get a preventable disease. And if the reason that you don't get it is because you prevented it yourself. So that is so powerful. And then, of course, Qigong and Tai Chi are so much deeper than that. Originally, Qigong and Tai Chi were not developed as health care tools. Tai Chi was originally developed, many feel, as a martial art. Others feel as it's a kind of personal alchemy. And, of course, Qigong is what we have in the modern era after all of the incredible eras in China where the Chinese developed rituals, whether they're practical physical rituals or rituals for helping to remember certain things like celebrations and so forth, or whether they would be spiritual rituals that involved the embodiment of intention. And we now call that Qigong. So this is a really, really rich area that you're interested in. And we at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi do three things. We train the public. That is, we work with people at events and retreat centers and so forth to train the public to practice Qigong and Tai Chi. We train people to be Qigong and Tai Chi teachers. That's a lot of what we're here to do today. And we do research. We do research on the impact that Qigong and Tai Chi are having on the healthcare system, but also on other aspects of people's lives. So let's jump in to our slides and see if I can figure out why the slides are not proceeding. Sorry, technical difficulty here. Hold on. There we go. Very sorry for that. So this Thursday, or for this webinar, we're going to talk about amazing stories of healing. And as you can see, this person doing Tai Chi by the ocean is exposed to nature in a radical sort of way. Could it be that some of how Qigong and Tai Chi have an effect on our well-being has to do with getting out of our houses and into nature? Of course, it's not necessary to do Qigong outside. You can do Qigong and Tai Chi inside. But often people do it outside, and it does have an influence on our well-being. So what is healing really? What a powerful question this is. And in the Western world, of course, we think of ourselves as bodies. Only lately have we thought of ourselves as bodies that might have nature. But the Chinese have been familiar with, they know my background is in Chinese medicine, and I have worked clinically with thousands of patients over 30 years, and the paradigm of Chinese medicine is so beautiful because it is not a disease-attacking sort of medicine. It is a well-being maximization sort of medicine. And so what happens is that to overcome disease, including Qigong and Tai Chi, we maximize our functionality at the level of three treasures. Our psychological self, and then the spirit. And the spirit doesn't have typically, we don't have a word typically called spiritology, because our spiritual nature is ineffable, hard to know, definitely difficult to study. And so the view from Chinese medicine and Chinese philosophy is that healing happens at every level, and that when you do something positive for the body, it has an influence on the other aspects. When you do something positive for the mind, it has an influence on the other aspects. And then there's the larger, more difficult, more ineffable aspect of the spirit. But we can speculate that when the spirit is having a more of an influence on us, that we will probably be more well. And there's a lot of research on the whole concept of spirituality and its influence on health and in the literature. And people who tend to be more spiritually attuned tend to live longer and have less disease and so forth. Now, the Chinese also have this aspect of the world, the universe, that they believe in and that is now finding its way into all of the societies of the world, and that is energy, life force, which is pervasive throughout the universe and throughout ourselves. So the three treasures are pervaded and infused with Qi. And that is a powerful underlying force in the whole question of what is healing really. So as we go further to amazing stories, for my personal view, I think that the most amazing is the stories of people who experience relief from chronic aches, pains, and maladies, and sometimes really quickly. through Qigong and Tai Chi, anyone who's a teacher, instructor of Qigong and Tai Chi have had people say to them, I think that this class is really helping me. I think that this practice is really helping me. And of course, the implications for our healthcare system and the Healthy People 2020 process is striking and profound. The citizens of this nation can have such an impact on the level of our productivity and our well-being. It's amazing. And the inspiration for this is trickling down into our communities through Qigong and Tai Chi teachers and meditation teachers and yoga teachers. These amazing stories of ordinary healings are happening all the time in people's classes. And as a witness to this, I would say that when people return to level 2 of the IIQTC teacher training from the after level 1, we encourage all the graduates to go back to their communities and be teaching and to practice teaching and to refine their capacity for teaching. And so when we get together for level 2, we go around and people tell the story of what's been going on in their lives since they've been to level 1. And the it is just so inspiring to hear what people are doing, where they're teaching, and the kinds of results that they're getting with every kind of population, older people, kids in school, hospital, post-surgical recovery programs, cancer programs, cardiac programs, social service. It's just amazing. So let's go to some amazing, amazing stories. These are all from just my own experience, and the graduates of our training courses have these experiences as well. And then we'll talk a little bit about the research here. But let's talk about real people who had real experiences with Qigong and Tai Chi. The first one is a gentleman who was diagnosed as having Parkinson's, had to quit his job as a director of a nonprofit that had to do with environmental issues. And worried, of course, family's nervous, all of that. And he went on to a experimental drug as a part of a huge study that was being funded by agencies of the government, looking at pharmaceutical approaches to Parkinson's disease. And at one point, he was called in to the study. Some of the officials of the study basically said, we're going to have to kick you out of the study because we think you're taking your medicine again. You've gone back on your regular medicine. And of course, as a part of the study, the individual takes whatever the medication is, and they go off of all their other medicines, they take whatever the medication is, and then they guarantee, they promise not to change anything else regarding their medicines. And so this person said, well, I've only been taking the medication that was given to me with the study. And then they asked, well, what else are you doing? And he said, well, I'm doing Qigong and Tai Chi. And they said, well, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. So they won't. And continued to collect his data, but they did not kick him out of the study. They said, well, we can kick him out later. And it turned out that he was actually not even taking the medication. He was taking the placebo. And his clinical information, his clinical values were showing that his Parkinson's was improving. And so what this means is that this person with Parkinson's disease was doing Qigong and Tai Chi, stopped taking their medicine because they were in a trial to take a different kind of medicine, then took the what was supposed to be a medicine in the trial, but it wasn't. It was the placebo. And his Parkinson's improved And check this out. And this is not a promise that every person with Parkinson's would have this experience, absolutely, but it's just an amazing story. This gentleman then went to get life insurance, and had he had severe Parkinson's disease, he would not have been able to get life insurance unless he paid exorbitant amounts of money. He was granted the life insurance at a regular rate, and when he did the research on the medical side of it, he found in his medical file, found that his doctor actually wrote in there that his Parkinson's was in remission because of Tai Chi. Anyway, really an amazing story. And of course, you may have heard that there's some research now, very recently released research, that demonstrates that Tai Chi and Qigong do have a positive effect on Parkinson's disease for all kinds of different reasons, which we talk about in depth, you know, when we're doing the training. Now, acid reflux is a very, very common problem, and a lot of people have it, and it's uncomfortable, and it can actually damage the tissue of the esophagus to the extent that it can be a precursor to esophageal cancer and other very, very severe inflammatory diseases of that part of the digestive system. And one of the people who is coming to our weekly practice session, and we have here in Santa Barbara, we have a weekly practice session of Qigong and Tai Chi on Wednesdays at 10:30. And this practice session has been going since 1983 or 84. Every Wednesday, except for the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's. And in fact, lately, there's been requests that we have those practice sessions as well. So we do the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we didn't used to, and we do the Wednesday between Christmas and New Year's, and we didn't used to. But the practitioners, they just love doing Qigong so much, they want to come to this practice. It's amazing. So At one point, we're just chatting with the people. You know, we usually have a feedback. How's this been going for you? Or does anybody want to share anything? And at one point, a woman started talking about her acid reflux. She was a nurse. She is a nurse. And she's married to a gastroenterologist. And she had very difficult acid reflux. And he did everything for her that he could, and then started referring her out to specialists. So these are all medical experts. And she said that this was a problem that was going on for decades, and that she was afraid that she was going to have this very, very amazing and unusual procedure wherein this amazing and provocative procedure wherein she would have a device placed down into her throat and sort of expanding her, like a machine, like a contraption. Anyway, she was very afraid of that, and also was afraid of getting some kind of cancer of her esophagus. So she's giving this testimonial and saying that, you know, I've only been coming to this class for 6 weeks, but my acid reflux is gone. And, you know, acid reflux is one of those kinds of disease that it doesn't kill you, but it ruins your life, along with things like irritable bowel syndrome and insomnia. The numbers of people whose health improves with these common disorders of headaches, pain, acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, insomnia, and so forth is amazing. And the research is starting to pile up on this, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So then with cancer, there is a lot of research in China on the effect of Qigong and Tai Chi on cancer. In the Western world, we're seeing more and better research. Stories that I have here, there's two, and I'll try to keep them pretty brief. A person with chronic lymphocytic leukemia diagnosed at the age of 60, 62, 63, her doctor would say, your leukemia is not progressing as it typically does. And she would say to the doctor, well, I've been doing Tai Chi. And then, of course, he would kind of blow it off and say, well, whatever, but, you know, keep doing it. And the kind of leukemia that she has, chronic lymphocytic, is not the worst or most difficult kind of leukemia, but it is a kind of leukemia that does contribute to the, shall we say, the depreciation of well-being fairly significantly, and usually it has an influence on the immune system and causes the person to die early in their life. Well, anyway, this particular person lived until she was 87. And so that means that she had a disease that would have killed her sooner. She had it for 25 years. And in the end, she died a kind of a normal death. Certainly, it's probably true that her immune system was compromised. But at 87, and I knew this person pretty well, at 87, she was completely satisfied, whereas at earlier ages, she was really vital character and wanted to continue to be well. The brain cancer story has to do with two brain cancer cases where the person eventually did lose their life, but instead of losing their life in 18 months or 2 years, as it was predicted that they would, they lived for 5 and 7 years. And so who wouldn't say, and by the way, these were both people who did not want to undergo brain surgery because the surgeries would have been almost guaranteed to interrupt their musculoskeletal capacity. In other words, they would probably cause some kind of paralysis of the limbs. And so they took, both of them took certain medications. They also did a lot of Qigong and Tai Chi. One of them did massive amounts of green tea. And they both had amazing stories of living well and living longer because of the use of Qigong and Tai Chi. And then the knee stories that people say, oh, you know, I can't do these practices because of my knees. Well, it turns out that numerous people that we know, people that have been in our classes, have found that knee surgeries that they thought that they were going to have, they did not have to have. One of our graduates, three now that I'm thinking of it, of our graduates, tell the story of the fact that they felt like maybe they were going to have to curtail their athletic activities, even walking and dancing. And then through the practice of Qigong and Tai Chi, and by the way, Tai Chi, sometimes people say Tai Chi is bad for your knees, but if you do Tai Chi well, and that's what we teach our teachers to teach, it actually can cure knee pain. And another one that comes to my mind is shoulder cuff, rotator cuff shoulder. One of the people who was in the Wednesday practice sessions was saying, you know, during the Christmas holiday, I'm going to have this surgery. And then we changed the routine a little bit, and that person practiced at home and they canceled the surgery and didn't need the surgery. So, you know, this kind of stuff is just so exciting. And then we think, well, are those just random stories? You know, they have any reality to them? Is there any trending going on here? And so the research, myself and colleagues from the IIQTC pulled together the research. This was published in the American Journal of Health Promotion in 2010. It's still referred to as the, I put in parentheses, or in quotes, the evidence base for Qigong and Tai Chi. It's a beautiful, very, very powerful article. It was so well received that it was actually became a news story for ABC Television News. And we could go on and on about this. We'll have a whole Thursday, one of our webinars on this at one point. And cardiac and neuropsychological were the two top. The other one is falls prevention. And falls prevention is, we waste a lot of money in this country with treating broken hips and older people with falls prevention. I didn't put it here because of the fact that Tai Chi and Qigong are not just for older people. They're for everybody. And many of our graduates are teaching in schools for kids. But the research on the cardiac and the neuropsychological, it's so amazing because cardiac disease is the biggest killer. If you go to Healthy People 2010 and look at the statistics for the 10 top causes of death, cardiac disease is still way, way up there as the primary cause of death in the United States. And it turns out that Tai Chi and Qigong are very constructive, very useful, very beneficial for either people who are at risk for cardiac disease or for people who have had a cardiac event and are trying to prevent a second event. And then neuropsychological, that's everything. That includes the Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, but it also includes any kind of depression, anxiety, and so forth. So it's a big, big category, and there's a lot of study that's been done on this. And all of it has been finding that Qigong and Tai Chi are very positive tools for managing neuropsychological types of disease. And of course, we know physiologically that when you relax, you change your neurotransmitter mix. And the neurotransmitter mix contributes to the presence or the absence of pain. And the neurotransmitter mix contributes to the presence or the absence of the ability to sleep well. So these are huge because health is so dependent on sleep. And well-being is so dependent on being able to be in at least a neutral emotional state. And of course, people learn in Qigong what it feels like to be quiet and relax and rest, have an internal vacation. And so that gives them something to compare it, their emotional hysteria to. Say, wait a minute, I'm feeling emotionally hysterical. But earlier when my Tai Chi class, I felt so much peace. You know, what is my preference? And it leads to the ability for people to be making constructive decisions about how they experience their lives. Now, not everybody, the Tai Chi and Qigong are not, as I told you originally, earlier this morning, they're not especially just for health and medicine. In China, Tai Chi and Qigong were originally developed as a part of our whole lives. And so the stories that we hear about people who, when they begin to practice Qigong and Tai Chi, how either their approach to their career changes or how they change their career. When a person starts to feel the power of recovery within their own body, and then they think to themselves, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm in the wrong job. I'm spending my time in ways that are not that constructive. So career, relationship, how often have we heard the story that a relationship has actually changed when one of the people, not even necessarily both of the people, one of the people begins to practice Qigong and Tai Chi and taking on a whole new view of how either life is or life could be or life should be. Of course, the contribution to athletics, flexibility, sustainability of the capacity to move through our lives comfortably, huge. And then the inspiration, the arts. And we could add spirituality here, too. We could say, you know, when a person taps into the aspect of themselves, that deep aspect of their nature that is not usually their focus, it's very inspiring. and contributes to both our spiritual lives and our all everything that has to do with our arts, our music, our any of the hobbies that we have that are associated with arts. And this list goes on. People often begin gardening when they do Qigong and Tai Chi because they realize the power of nourishment and the source of their food. And so it's just amazing how this goes in so many aspects of our lives that are not particularly associated with disease. Now, when we teach Qigong, what are the forces that are converging that generate the amazing stories? And it's not just the physiology and the psychology. The physiology and the psychology are under the influence of these kinds of things. So teachers are setting up atmospheres, creating environments, setting up opportunities for people to meet with each other. You probably have heard that the greatest measure of a person's sustainability of well-being is simply how many people they interact with during a day. There's all this research on the fact that when we go out to the grocery store and communicate with the person at the counter, that's actually an interaction. And we have connection with our family, the people at our work. Those are all interactions. Well, the people at our Tai Chi class, that's another one. And a lot of people have limited relationships in their lives, or a lot of people have relationships that are distressing. And to be able to connect with people at a Qigong and Tai Chi class where people are there of like mind and shared values, very, very powerful. Tapping into supporting the individual and tapping in to the quiet which exists within their being if they let that be. So powerful. The learning new things. Brain plasticity is one of the highest factors for increasing the neurological proliferation of neurological connections is movement and dance. And so learning to coordinate movements is very, very powerful. Humor. Most teachers have at least an opportunity, sometimes a lot of opportunity, to weave humor into their classes and inspiration. This is non-denominational inspiration, having to do with just the connections that get made. And remember the chi. What is the chi? Where is the chi coming in? How is that influencing this? And to what extent does the teacher have an influence on a person's experience of their own chi by giving them permission to relax and not worry and not have to learn too much too soon? All that contributes. And of course, knowledge about physiology, knowledge about the Chinese medicine, just a little bit of information about Chinese medicine, Chinese philosophy, all these things are contributing to the totality of the development of these amazing stories. And so what are we really teaching about health, life balance, and healing when we teach Qigong? There's this idea that Qigong is an exercise and that we're teaching movements. And of course we are. And there's an idea that Qigong is a meditation and that we're teaching people to disassociate from the complexity of their lives. And that's true, absolutely. But there's so much more. A human being has a place in the universe which is profound. And because there are so many of us, and because of the way people act, I mean, so many people are just so unconscious about their lives. Pretty much confused humanity. And one of the things that we're teaching when we're teaching Qigong and Tai Chi is to connect with our own being at a really deep level. And we're teaching people to have an experience of an aspect of themselves that they rarely pay attention to. That's the qi. We're also teaching people to have an opening, to provide an opening within their being for the aspect of themselves that we might call the spirit, or the aspect of ourselves which is eternal, if you want to use that way to say it. And giving people an opportunity to experience these aspects of themselves that typically they are not paying attention to is very, very transforming. And it's exciting, and the excitement has an influence on the nervous system. And it builds trust. There's, you know, imagine the difference in your life if you understood that you could make contact with the part of yourself that will probably survive the death of your body before you die. What would it be like if you could actually make contact with the part of yourself that you will still have contact with when you have lost contact with your body, but instead of waiting until the moment of death to do so, that you can actually do that now? What would that change in your being? How would your nervous system be going forward if you had an opportunity to refine your relationship with your deeper nature? That's huge. It's difficult to talk about, but it happens spontaneously in Qigong and Tai Chi classes when they are hosted by people who are well trained. And, you know, that's our work at the Institute. And there's an aspect of ourself that, according to physics, is not limited inside of our skin, but which is actually pervasive throughout the entire universe. In other words, each being is actually boundless. You don't have to actually say, as in a lecture, hey, you know, you're boundless and you're going to have this really cool experience because you are. Don't even have to say that. In class, in Qigong and Tai Chi class, that turning inward and that non-distraction create the connection, and people feel it, and it is transforming. You know, we could go on about this, but let's move ahead. We're going to be answering more questions because you've asked many great questions, but I want to answer one that's very common and very typical, and that is, how long does it take, or how much practice is needed to trigger these amazing healing stories? And I'm going to answer this pretty quickly, but and we talk much in our trainings, because the average citizen, the average person in the world, doesn't really know much about what we're going to talk about right now. So it really is a powerful body of information. First of all, there's the varieties of healing experience. Some people have nearly miraculous experiences, healing experiences, in your class. People will say, I have had these headaches for decades, and lately I'm not having them. And people will say, my sleep is better now than it was when I was 17. Those kinds of things are amazing. And some of those things happen right away. Some people will say, wow, I came in here and I was so uncomfortable and now I feel better. What did you do? You know, they'll say, what did you do to me? And of course, you didn't do anything except for host an experience. And then others, just, now here's the downside. Here's the bad news, is that there are people who do Qigong and Tai Chi and do not have an amazing healing experience. And for you to be able to live in the presence of these people, those who do have these kind of nearly miraculous experiences, sometimes actually miraculous experiences, and then other people who do not, you know, that's the truth of life. That's the richness of the real world that we live in. So, you know, we don't promise. Teachers of Qigong and Tai Chi do not make promises. And so then you could say, well, what do you mean by the healing promise of Qi? And that means that every person who does their practice will have some kind of improvement. Every person. people with multiple sclerosis may not get over multiple sclerosis, but they may sleep better. They may have better bathroom experience. They may have a better energy and less pain, you know, any of those kinds of things. So it's a very difficult issue to say when will this happen, because sometimes it happens right away and sometimes it happens over time, and sometimes the big miracle experience doesn't happen, but smaller positives do. Then there's this rule that we teach about, and I can tell you about right now, is these letters mean when you do something good for yourself, you get something good rule. What that means is when you do something good for yourself, you get something good, but we don't know when. And you may have had the experience of doing something good for yourself and then feeling tired for days. You may have had the experience of doing something good for yourself and having an upset digestive system. And there are other kinds of things that happen along this line. This is what we call sometimes the healing crisis. In other words, when the body starts to heal itself, you'll actually experience a crisis because of the fact that toxic materials have been mobilized and are now being dispelled through the elimination system and so forth. So when you do something good for yourself, call it Qigong and Tai Chi, you get something good, means that you will probably get something good, but we don't know when. So to that question of how long does it take, we can't tell. And then there's this other profound aspect of learning to live with ourselves and the nature of our lives. And that is that there's a tension in having an expectation. There's a tension that's created within our being when we say, hey, look, I did my Qigong, now where's my healing? You know, there's a whole contrary energy that can get built up by expectation. And if you notice the nature of how philosophers act and speak, it's clear that having expectations can be very upsetting. And one of the most compromising things that we experience, and it's a disappointment, right, is that when we have an expectation and then what actually occurs shows up. And sometimes expectation can actually compromise the healing capacity. So I put this here because I want you to be thinking about that, you know, between now and when I get to meet you, I hope, at one of our trainings. And what can we do for ourselves to modify expectation and pay more attention to what's actually happening? And then when you are being a teacher, can you do the same thing? Can you support your students in modifying their expectation and spending their chi, their energy, their life force, their attention on cultivating a relationship with that which is actually occurring? It's very, very powerful. So let's just talk briefly about the way the three levels of the teacher training work out, and then we'll take some questions. Level one is focused on Qigong, and we have a huge curriculum of Qigong. It is very powerful. We put it into 7 days. When you go to iiqtc.org, that's the website, I'm sure you've probably already been there, iiqtc.org, and look at the curriculum and the calendar, and you find your way around there. You'll find your way to the curriculum. Now, the teacher training, the Qigong level one is focused on Qigong, and we encourage you to go right back to your community and start teaching. Then when you get to level two, we review everything that's in level one, because it's such a beautiful, rich body of knowledge and a wide array of practices. And then we do Tai Chi. And the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi has a specific Tai Chi teaching methodology. It's not quite patented, but it's definitely a secret sauce. And I can testify to this because many of our graduates are actually who come to our level 1, 2, and 3 are already teaching. And one of the comments that they make on a regular basis is that my Tai Chi classes were really a problem for me. And there's a lot of reasons for that, which we can get into detail on at another time. And the Institute of Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi teaching method, or what we call the Integral Tai Chi teaching method, is, well, it's, for many would say that it's worth the price of everything that they paid for, and they got so much more. The in Tai Chi, in level two, the graduates of level two have actually achieved everything that is included in another program that we do, which is called Tai Chi Easy Practice Leader Training. So if you're thinking about getting into this profession, and you're wondering about whether to take the Tai Chi Easy Practice Leader Training, well, of course, do, because it's a very powerful experience. However, by the time you're through level two, you have that. You've got all that. And therefore, you know, if you want to pass on the Tai Chi Easy Practice Leader Training and jump right in, by the end of level two, you'll have everything that's in the Tai Chi Easy package or training. And so we then go, and let me just say one more thing about Tai Chi, and that is that we also do what's called Integral Tai Chi, which is a longer form. So Tai Chi Easy is a very, very brief set of Tai Chi movements. Integral Tai Chi is a little longer. Neither of them are what we would call a long form. In fact, they're briefer even than traditional short form. However, and this is key, and this is probably the most powerful thing I can say about level two, is that these practices include all of the principles of Tai Chi, all of the classic principles of Tai Chi, weight shifting, stepping, lengthening, sinking, expanding, all the parts moving when one part moves, sequencing the movements in such a way that the flow never stops, all of that is present in the level two. Everything that you would ever want to learn about Tai Chi, sorry, about yin and yang, because yin and yang, when they come together in a mutuality, that's called, in Chinese philosophy and language, that's called Tai Chi. That's where Tai Chi comes from, is the balance of the mutuality of opposing forces. That's what Tai Chi means. And of course, you will be infused with that. And then in level three, we review level one and level two, because when you teach, people are going to want to learn Qigong and Tai Chi. But for you, in the deepening of your own work and your own life and your own cultivation, and for your own teaching, should you be inclined to teach more advanced practices, in level three, we study alchemy. And alchemy is metaphorically how you transform something that is not that valuable into gold. And the metaphor is, could you take this shovel full of soil and transform it into gold? Or could you take these rough ingredients and transform them into gold? And alchemy is about making something into something else. And how that works in our own being is we take the rough ingredients that we've been given in our lives and we cultivate ourselves in such a way as to reveal the gold of our eternal nature, which is never not present within our own being. That's beautiful and deep. And we explore this from the perspective of all the great traditions in China, the imperial tradition, the academic, the philosophical, the Buddhist, the Confucian, the Taoist, the martial, all of that, all of those perspectives on personal transformation. And then, of course, you are certified as a Tai Chi and Qigong teacher. And we've trained 300 of these people. Actually, it's pushing on to 350 all over the United States, Canada, Mexico, Europe, and even Asia. We have graduates who've actually come from the home of Qigong and Tai Chi to the United States to study Qigong and Tai Chi because of the fact that it's integral. It's not based on what are often felt to be superstitious traditions in their society, but instead based on, you know, the kind of logic, democracy, and research and so forth that can happen here in the Western world. Okay, well, thank you so much for your interest, and so glad you could be here. And let's answer a few questions, Josie.
Yeah, appreciate it. And the topic of healing is always just so compelling for me. And in teaching Qigong and actually experiencing Qigong myself and personal healings that I've gone through, so this is always a discussion that I really, really enjoy. And I also get that sense of, to ask the question again and again in a new way, what is healing? Right, what is healing? And so we have a version of that, of those kind of questions coming to us. So appreciating the questions, thank you very much. And we are close to the end, so it looks like we're going to be able to take two questions. So if we can do that, and maybe go a little bit over, that's how that's going to be. So the question comes from Walter. What preparations are recommended prior to learning Qigong and Tai Chi from Dr. Roger Yonka? Also, are there any contraindications, such as with pregnancy? So what are the preparations, mm-hmm. and are there any contraindications? Thank you, Walter, for the question.
Yeah, thank you, Walter. Well, first of all, let's go to the contraindications. Usually, contraindications are based on drugs and medical procedures that are provocative and can be dangerous because of the fact that they are aggressive or whatever. Because Tai Chi and Qigong are so benign and mild, there really are no contraindications, particularly for just, you know, anybody or everybody. If we get to specific instances, like, for instance, if a person has glaucoma, there are parts of the practice that we do where you can squeeze your eyes to exercise the eyes. Let's just use the word exercise. But if you have glaucoma, you wouldn't do it. Or if you've had a recent surgery, you wouldn't do it. So there are contraindications that have to do with if you've had a recent surgery and you're not ready to stand yet, then don't stand. Do the practice sitting. There are contraindications that have to do with things that people would never do. Like, for instance, don't do Qigong after you've had a huge meal. Don't do Qigong after you've been using alcohol or drugs. Well, typically people just don't do that anyway. And some of these prohibitions that come from the traditional side don't even make that much sense. Sometimes don't do Qigong in the wind. One of the most inspiring things there is to be out on not a blustery windy day, but on a lovely breezy day. So we want to be sure that we don't get caught up in any of those kinds of prohibitions that don't make any sense. So pregnancy. I tell the story, and I'll tell it briefly here, of the person who edited at HarperCollins, who was the editor for my first book, which is called The Healer Within. She said, I'm pregnant. Do you think it'd be okay if I use the methods in your book? Because I'm editing your book anyway. And I said, sure, go ahead. That's what they're for. They're to help a healthy person to become more healthy. And you are a healthy person, and your baby's a healthy baby. So all we're going to get is more health out of this. And that's what Qigong and Tai Chi and even acupuncture are for, is making people healthier. And so it really is not contraindicated. Now, there are modifications. So Walter may be speaking to modifications. You know, how do we and when do we modify? Well, always. That's the top rule. When we teach people to be teachers, we teach them to be sure to modify the practice for the group of people that they're with. And that's not only the physical side of the practice, but also the conversation. So when you're speaking to nurses, you're going to have a very different conversation than you would if you were going to be speaking with teenagers and in school. Or if you were speaking to athletes, you would speak completely differently than you would to corporate executives, so forth. And we have graduates who are working in all of these environments, and part of our curriculum is to support the trainees in understanding the concept of modification and how to articulate the concept of modification. Now, in terms of preparation, let's just speak very generally, because I'm not sure exactly what Walter's meaning here. Preparation to study Qigong and Tai Chi as an individual in a community anywhere going to a Qigong and Tai Chi class, no preparation required. If you get to a class where it feels like you should have been prepared and you're not, I would say leave right away, because it's the should that is going to exhaust you. Find another class where you're allowed to come completely unprepared and learn at your own rate. That's one of the paradigm, basic foundations of the work of the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi. If we're going to have a huge impact on this society and support millions of people in understanding the value of mind-body practice and cultivating themselves, whether it's qi or just cultivating peace, got to lower the bar. And lowering the bar means that we teach people to feel comfortable, have fun, relax, much more than we teach people to do this or that in a certain way. And there's some subtleties to that, and we can, it's all part of that training. So then going on to what kind of preparation might we do to come to a level one training? Well, oddly, the answer is kind of the same. We really like it when people who don't know anything about Qigong and Tai Chi come to these trainings, because they are enthusiastic, they have no expectations, their judgments about comparing what we're doing with something else are, there are no judgments about comparing because they have nothing to compare it to. It's actually very, very refreshing. Although we do work with people who have a lot of preparation and even people who are already teachers. One of my favorite graduates is someone who came to levels 1, 2, and 3, was already a very successful teacher, and at the end of level 3 said to me, "This is amazing. My students tell me that I'm a great teacher, but I know that I have tapped into more information and more wisdom and more experience and more knowledge and more practice here than I ever would have been able to access otherwise, and I'm deeply grateful." So that's very powerful. If a person is prepared, it's fine. We do have a reading, required reading, and it is not a bad idea to do that. But some people will say, "Oh my gosh, you know, I don't really read very well. I never did that well in school. I'm not really a reader. Am I going to do bad at this course?" No, because this is all about unpacking a deep aspect of our being. And so we want to help you as the trainees to unpack that deep neglected aspect of your being, the capacity for healing, the capacity for wisdom, and so forth. And we're going to teach you to do that for others. And the only way that really happens is for people to feel comfortable. So the preparation is to come to the training wide-eyed and full of enthusiasm, and to have your expectations be modified so that you can actually have the experience of the marvelous things that are actually occurring while you're there. So I could say a little more on that, but maybe in the interest of having a couple more questions, we'll go on.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. It's always about staying curious, isn't it? And we are out of time. We are out of time. We have reached our time limit, and you know, there's a lot of questions left. So let's do a couple things here to wrap up. We're going to be handling the questions through email and also through further webinars. So I just want to remind you that the Third Thursday webinar series does occur on the third Thursday of every month. And so join us again at the same time, 9 a.m., and you'll get a reminder of it if you're registered for this webinar. So with that, I'm going to conclude our webinar here and invite Roger, invite Dr. Yanka here to have any closing remarks, 30 seconds of closing remarks.
Thank you, Josie. Well, just first on questions, many of people's questions, of course, get answered through the webinar we just had. If you have a question that's really, really tip-top and you're anxious to get it answered, please send it in. The final comment that I would say is that we are so excited about being involved in how our society, and I don't just mean here in the United States, I think I mean in most of the countries in the world, really, are going to come to this revelation of the fact that the human being is so much more powerful than we thought. And the idea of getting answers for how to be a better person, whether it's health-wise or emotionally or academically or performing in any way, work or sports or love or whatever it is, that the answer, the power, is within the person. And that when we teach people mind-body practice, they start to tap in to a treasure. And so through this training, teacher training, what we do is we support people in tapping into their own treasure and then learning how, by having the experience, to help others to tap into that treasure within themselves. Thanks, Josie.
Thank you, Roger. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. We look forward to having you again. Be well, and I'm signing off now for the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi and for Dr. Roger Yanka. I'm Josie Weaver. Thanks for coming. Bye now.